fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have peace complete with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
If you turn with me into Acts chapter 17, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I was reminded this morning several times, actually, what we've been studying in Bible study, what we're singing about this morning and all those kind of things, that actually this sermon kind of goes along with that. Maybe that's why it should. But when I came in, I walked by Tom and Megan there, and one of her sweet daughters had a bouquet of flowers there in her hand, and I was, you know, being smart, I said to her, you know, what are those? And she said, flowers. Sometimes it's good to get to the point, isn't it? Sometimes it really is. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonius, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and raised again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Jews, Greeks, a great multitude, and of chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Isn't that cool, Dennis? And set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here hither." Be with us, Lord, as we're opening the scripture this morning. Speak to us from it. Let your will be done in every life. Lord, let us not miss the obvious that you are God and there is no one outside of, and the glory that is Jesus is real, and we need to, Father, accept that, put it in our hearts, grow in Christ daily that we might be stronger, that sin might not have its place in us. So, Lord, you speak to those this morning that are here that need to hear and maybe once more need to be stirred that these are flowers. This is the beauty of the gospel. So, Lord, we ask your will to be done this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I was reading from a magazine. It's Bibles for Internationals, and there was a story in that magazine, and here's what it said. It was pitch black because there was no electricity in the house. Our gathering was inside a house in Roma, Romania. I used a flashlight to read my Bible as I preached, but in a couple of minutes or a little while, a couple of candles were found, and they began to light those candles. And I could see that there were over 100 people crowded in to that small house. As I looked around, I saw something that stirred my heart and my soul. It was God's glorious church gathered to meet in worship. I saw beauty. I saw joy. I saw passion. I saw souls who had been redeemed from sinful passions, freed from slavery, freed from the slavery of sin that had held them so long. They wept as they sang songs of hope. They wept as they sang songs of praises. They wept as they sang songs of grace. They wept as they sang songs about Jesus. As they prayed, I noticed that many times they were quoting the scriptures. Their hunger for God's word was intense. Yet I understood and realized that most of them could not even read. However, their minds were afire. Their memories were like a sponge soaking it all in. They were former drunks, former thieves, former prostitutes, former beggars, but now they had been changed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, transformed by Jesus, their life having come under the power of the cross and his resurrection. Now they were about turning the world upside down for Jesus. How? Through the word. Through the word. Well, Acts 17 gives us three examples of the scripture's power. You realize that Paul was on his missionary journeys, and there were three places that he visited as he was ministering the word. First was Thessalonica, it's mentioned there, Berea, and Athens. Acts 17 tells us of the apostles reasoning with the Thessalonians from the scripture. In the next group was the Bereans. In Acts 17, 10, verses 10 through 15, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily. Therefore, many of them believed." The third place where Paul went was Athens. In Acts chapter 17, again, verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them," who was he waiting for? Timothy and Silas. "In Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city given over to idolatry. He preached to the Athenians Jesus and the resurrection." Now, there were mixed reactions. In verse 17, it said, "Paul disputed with the Jews in the synagogue. He spoke to the philosophers, and some of them," in verse 18, says, "What a babbler." They called him a babbler. In verse 19, some ask to know more, though. You see, there's always a mixed group. There are those that the Spirit of God is working in their lives. The Spirit of God, using the Word of God, is pricking their hearts. You can't see it perhaps on the outside, but God's at work. In our lesson this morning talking about in Sunday school, I thought to myself, and I think I might have said that. If I didn't, I said it to Barry in the hallway. Never count out God. All kinds of things we can do and not do. Sometimes we do it in a good and gracious way. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we put people over in a category and just count them out just because of that's who they are. And God doesn't do that. So if we minister in the will of Jesus, with the mind of Jesus, counting on Jesus to work, then great things can happen. If it's up to me, if it's my words, if it's my intellect, if it's my persuasion, it's my knowledge, whatever it might be, then we're in sad shape. But we're not, that's not it. In the end, it's always God. And there were positive reactions to Paul preaching here in Acts 17, but there were also negative reactions as well. That's always the way it's going to be. But there are also, in these that were there, that recognized when Paul and Silas and Timothy were there, they said, no wonder. These are the guys who have turned the world upside down, and they've come here too. You know what? We're those people. We're those people. Whether we're here in this building or out in the parking lot, baseball game, over in Walmart's or Myers or whatever, we're those people. How we conduct ourselves, what we say, how we show our love to each other, and how we show at least appreciation of those that we come in contact, all that has very great weight by the Spirit of God. There in Romania, many of those dear folks there, the preacher said, couldn't even read. Yet, God cut through all that, dispelling the darkness of their hearts and minds, gave them a hunger for the Word of God. They couldn't even read it, but they had a hunger for it. Their minds became like sponges, and they just couldn't get enough. I think that that's what we need, don't you? God needs to cut through to us. Help us to have a hunger for His Word. Help us to be sponges. I don't want to go to that Bible study again. It's just Barry talking again about something. And where is Barry anyway? There he is. Don't we say stuff like that? Oh, gosh, it's snowing outside, it's cold, it's slippery, and all that kind of stuff. And we get there, who knows what. The preacher sometimes actually has a halfway decent message. Sometimes the guy gets off the rail and goes somewhere else. You know, all those kind of things. And almost all that's true, but it doesn't really matter, because don't discount the Lord God Almighty working in hearts. Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 5, he says that we've been sanctified and cleansed by what? By the washing of the water. By what? The Word of God. The Word of God. That we and He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but holy without blemish. I don't know if I should say this. I say stuff that's probably inappropriate. Lou, cut this part out or something if you get a chance or something. Okay, Garrett can do it. When I lived up in Montana, we lived out at Haver one time for a couple years. We lived in Lewistown for a couple of years. But when we were up at Haver, it was just a little radar site, probably 100 guys or something like that. My dad was the first sergeant. We had about 10 houses, a housing area. And if you had a family, you could get in the housing area. So the colonel was right over here. Jerry Holter and his family was right there. He was in charge of the radar. And we had a lieutenant that just down the road. Hey, oh gosh, they had a brand new GTO. We have to remember to tell him that. She was a teacher. She was a substitute teacher. And we would ride from the base down to the main highway. Sometimes we went in an ambulance. Sometimes we went in a six-pack, it just depended on what was available. We got down there and we caught the bus and those kind of things. And, oh, man, isn't that silly? We're driving along, 38 miles to town, 38 miles. And here comes that girl in that GTO. The old bus driver, he didn't quite understand. We'd say, honk the horn, honk the horn, honk the horn, you know, like that. And he didn't want to do it at first, but after a while, he realized, oh, we're honking at that car. And sometimes when she'd go by, she'd honk, honk, you know. Well, listen, it was this little old housing area. And so, you know, we were just all thrown together there. And the colonel had two daughters and one son. And the oldest daughter and the youngest daughter had a horse, and his name is Charlie. But they had a brother, and his name was Peter. He was maybe 4 or 5 years younger than the youngest daughter. And I don't know why we called him that. You know how kids do stuff? We called him Peter Potamus. I don't even know what that means, you know. But it was somehow or another, we were picking on him, you know. And so anyway, Jerry Holzer and I were down at the barn, and Lynn comes walking down there, and we decided, hey, there's just a giant pile of horse poop over here. Let's go down over here, get behind the barn kind of thing, pick up some horse poop. Manure. Thank you, Mondale. Manure is not poop, it's manure. Pick up some manure, and when she comes into the corral, oh, it was probably the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. She didn't like that a bit, you know. And guess what she started doing? She started picking it up, throwing it back. We never expected that, you know. Why would this dignified girl pick up horse manure and throw it back at us? But that's what happened. Okay, so we were having fun, laughing and giggling and all that kind of stuff. And then her brother started coming down. Get behind the barn again. Get that arms loaded up with the manure. And when he came into the corral area, he knew we were supposed to be there, but he didn't know where we're at. And he hollered out, and he said something about, is anybody here? And about that time, we jumped out. And, oh, the poor fellow. He actually kind of slipped down to the ground. And so I had pretty good horse manure pile in my arms. I just went over there and poured it on him. Yeah. I was having a great time. Great time. I think Jerry was having a great time. I think his sister was having a great time, actually. I was so surprised that she was throwing horse poop or manure. But so we just had a, you know, great time. Well, he ran home. He was crying and carrying on and everything like that. The more he cried, the louder he cried, the more we laughed. And so I actually kind of forgot about it a little bit because we were down there messing around for a good little bit. So we walked up, came into the gate that goes into the housing area, and here was his mother. And she said, you two gentlemen, come here. Whoa. So she proceeded to tell us everything under the sun, how horrible that was, that we plummeted him with horse manure. Then she said, and now you've got another job to do. What could that be? He was standing in the yard. She gave us the hose, and she said, here is some dishwashing detergent. You give him a bath. He didn't want to do it, but he, you know, his mom, stand there. So now, have you ever had horse manure all over you, plus dishwashing soap? I don't think it really does much good, you know. It was horrible. It was terrible. You know, I kind of think about that in the sense that God cleans us up from the horse manure. We got horse manure all over us. Let's do this thing, you know. We got it all over us, but he cleanses, he makes us without spot or wrinkle. He cleans us up. And it's not like horse manure messed up with dishwashing soap. He were clean. Now, from the perspective of a lost world, everything about God's kingdom is upside down. However, from God's perspective, everything in the world is upside down. Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, for example, over in Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are they that hunger now, for they should be filled. Hunger? I thought we'd rather have one of Jen's apple pies or something. We don't want to be hungry, you know. Blessed are they that weep now, for then they shall laugh. Jesus says in Matthew, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall what? Find it. Over Matthew 19, he says, many who are first, they're going to be last, and many who are last, they're going to be first. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become like little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and I suspect there was a little child standing right there, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. Mark records for us, Jesus says, whosoever wants to become great in the kingdom of God must become a servant. A servant? I kind of want to sit on thrones, don't you? I kind of want to let those worldly no goods that I've had to put up with all my life come before me and now the tables are turned. Well, that's not what Jesus said. In Luke 6, he says this terrible, terrible thing. Love your enemies. 1 Peter says, repay evil with good. Luke 6 says, give and you shall receive. God loves a cheerful giver. Everything that we've learned all our life is wrong. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's foolishness to God. From God's perspective, this old world that we live in needs to be turned right side up. Everything's upside down. Instead of helping somebody that needs a hand, we're told, slug them in the face. Everything's upside down. But there are three enemies that I want you to quickly be with me this morning on truth. The world is inverted. The world is self-centered. Choose whom you listen to. Years and years ago, my little Pinto car, I had a little radio in there. I don't think it had FM. I think it was just AM. But anyway, had it set to 1090 WFCV here in Fort Wayne. You become like who you listen to. You become like who you adopt the ideas of. You become like those that you want to follow after. And we don't recognize. The devil's pretty good at what he does. Scripture says he's a liar and a deceiver. Over in John, Jesus says, you are your father, the devil. They didn't like that. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You want to know where lies come from? Right there. But after the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimonies of those eyewitnesses who saw him, they became bold, didn't they? They were powerful in their speech and in their testimony. And they shared that with the world. Nothing could stop them from doing that thing, sharing what they knew to be true. Four things that empower and energize the church, and that's who we are, God's glorious church. First of all, they had a faith that produced obedience. Someone said the single greatest thing we can carry to the field is not our training, not our education, not our experience. It's our love and dedication to the Lord. People will see that. And if you present that in the way we should, there's no refutation of that. Our love and devotion to the Lord. This will show forth the truth. Our behavior and our passions will overflow from the depths of our heart. We're not putting on something. We're not creating something that's not in and of itself in us, through us, and for us. What's Jesus doing in you? Let me ask you that. Are you excited about coming to worship? You said, well, I could if we get somebody could preach. I could if we had somebody know how to play the piano. I could if we get somebody who knows how to take the offering. It's an endless thing. People criticize everything. That boy Taylor, he's a handsome young lad, but we need to get somebody up there with some substance to him. You know, isn't that the way it is? You can't do anything right. The devil's not going to allow the things of God to come out into the unbeliever's heart and mind in a sense of positive. What has to happen is God has to take that and change it to a positive so they can hear and they can see that. What's Jesus doing in you? How are you excited? Are you excited about worship? You get up on Sunday mornings thinking to yourself, man, let's get to Bible study this morning. Wonder what we're going to talk about this morning. I read such and so on, so and so last week or whatever. Are you excited about that? It should be. I remember, like I said, when I was in Korea, we had a Saturday night prayer meeting. We started out at 10 o'clock over in Chapel 2. Some guys would bring potato chips. Some guys might bring a Coke or an orange drink or something like that. We'd have a little fellowship time. And then we'd all gather around the podium area, and we'd begin to pray. Now, there might not have been 15 or 16 or something like that there. But sometimes, you know, when I got up to go from there back to my barracks, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. We had just been praying and praying and praying. And, you know, I was not tired. I wasn't thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, what time is it? No, none of those kind of things. What are you excited about? Well, they were excited about the truth that had transformed their lives. They were excited about that God had included them in being in the mission, part of the mission. They were to be proclaimers as well. Not just somebody that God had healed and said, okay, stay over here. You be a China doll in a closet someplace. No, I want to use you. Be part of who I am, what I'm about. Over in Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Oh, that God's church could be of one accord. I heard about this a few years ago when talking about the Super Bowl or something like that. And we're talking about the number of people who were watching the Super Bowl and those kind of things. And then somebody said, but you know how many people were in church in America last week? And they gave the number. It was 7 times greater than those who were watching the Super Bowl. We have the numbers. We are the people. We have the Spirit of God in us. What we need to do is just recognize that and realize that, and don't be dissuaded by the lies of Satan. Satan will say, no, cool it down. You just need to cool your jets on that. You can't reach people for Jesus like that. Oh, yeah, you can. Put the word out there, and God will energize that word. Listen. They were desperate, and in their desperation, they prayed. And they had a little secret. You see, they knew that prayer in and of itself is not powerful. But they knew this, and we should know this. When we pray, God interacts. It's not so much that prayer is powerful. It's the God we pray to who is powerful, all powerful. And when we get down and when we're sincere and we break our hearts unto him and we come to him in prayer, that power in God then is released through us. We pray, we ask humbly for something. I think that's, for the most part, what we're afraid of, that we might ask and God do it. Because that would require something of change. If we want something to happen to them over there. You know, but it might require some change in us as well. Of course, they had the Holy Spirit that produced that power and that results. We enjoy debating. when we talk about here in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, we enjoy debating about what kind of miracle it is. Actually, Grayson said something to me the other day. He said, was it a miracle of hearing or a miracle of speech? Well, he's just, what grade is he in? Seventh grade? How's he getting all that stuff? Oh, he's heard that somewhere. Was it a miracle of hearing or of speech? Listen, God can touch the ears if he wants to. God can touch the hearing apparatus in those ears so that every one of them heard in their own language. God can do that. But God can also touch the tongue. And all of them understood that message as they spoke in the tongue that they were familiar with. Why is that so? Because God is a God of all power. The gospel triumphed, though, not because of some clever planning that they had. They didn't say, well, let's wait to Pentecost because, you know, the Spirit's going to be poured out on Pentecost. I don't think they were even thinking about that. They should have, because Pentecost was an Old Testament feast, and they should have recognized it was part of what God was doing. But I'm not sure that they recognized that. They just happened to be the right place at the right time. And, of course, all that was God's timing. And they preached. They stood up. They testified. The gospel triumphed, not because it was enticing words, but because they were Holy Spirit-empowered words. Faith has produced obedience. Passion produced a unity. Desperation produced prayer. You know, I kind of like that last one, if that's true, and I think it is. Because I think sometimes we're getting close to that. You say, well, faith and obedience? And no, the desperation part. We look at all the stuff going on around us, and we think to ourselves, oh my, how can this get any worse? And the next day unfolds and it's worse. So we're desperate. And that's good. Because in that desperation, we look to God. We're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to be passionate. We're supposed to be trusting the Lord, desperate for his contact with us. He's living within us. He wants to bring the increase. It's his will. It is God who works. You know, in the New Testament, there's a word, dunamis, and it's used 120 times in the New Testament. And we have a word in English that's loosely close to that word. Does anybody know what it is? Dynamite. This stuff's dynamite. This stuff's dynamite. That's why they don't want you to use this stuff. That's why they don't want you to speak this stuff. That's why they don't want you to sing this stuff. That's why they don't want you to share this stuff, because it's dynamite. It's dangerous to their cause, but it's glorious to God's cause. It's dynamite. The ability to stand strong in faith and proclaim the word of God, that dynamic skill to show in an understandable way the truth of God to others. And remember always that we're not alone. If we're obeying God and we're doing what God has asked us to do, God's there and he's going to give the increase. If you give the increase, it's not going to be worth a hoot. Not worth a hoot. Somebody will just agree with you because they want to leave. They're, you know, tired of being cooped up or whatever it is. And they'll, you know, anything. I'll say anything. But if God works, it's going to change the heart. It's going to produce the desired result. Dynamite is the word. Understanding it, proclaiming it, letting it be part of us. That's what we do. You know, I think we look out and we might say to ourselves, Lord, could you do this again? The world we live in needs it again. Could you do it again? What do you think? I think it's a yes. I think it's an amen. God can do it again. And all God is waiting on is for us to get in a place where he can use us and do it. Heavenly Father, We come to your house this morning to worship you in the spirit and the truth. We've had the opportunity to come together in fellowship, to study around your word. Here we are in this place. We've sung hymns and praises to your name. We've looked at your scripture. We saw the power of it. Now we ask, Father God, that in this particular time, as we're sitting here quietly, that we would resolve in our hearts, Lord, use me. Help me to be a stick of dynamite in your hand. Help me, Lord. The world is staggering like a drunken sailor, not knowing which way is up or down. The world thinks the kingdom of God is upside down. So, Lord, help us that we might be the people like those folks there in Romania. Passionate. Loving. Dependent upon the word. Their prayers were scripture. And they couldn't even read. Oh, Lord, back us up. Help us to be a little more humble. Maybe a whole lot more humble. And use this. Because it's not only this country we love, but you love the world. And the message is for the world. And there are places in this world that this Bible is so fearful a thing. It's outlawed. That should show us the power of it. Help us to be good students. Help us to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Use us, Lord, even this day. Father, if decisions need to be made openly and publicly, we pray that we've done so to honor the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.